break. Since the turn of the pandemic, staffing issues have yet to improve statewide. Due to this crisis, the North Carolina Office of Emergency Medical Services has extended and slightly altered this provision, which allows uncertified individuals to operate these vehicles on a temporary basis while agencies are down in general, not just related to COVID-19. In order to receive an approval for this practice by the state, the Berkeley County Emergency Management Department would have to apply for a waiver, which includes a corrective action plan. Upon the board's approval of adding the healthcare transportation provider position to the Berkeley County Emergency Medical Services classification and pay plan, we plan to move forward with requesting to utilize this service to assist with our staffing issues locally. It is our recommendation that this position be placed on a newly adopted grade 54 on the Berkeley County EMS salary schedule with a starting hourly rate of $12.50. This position would only be held on a part-time temporary basis and only 6 months at a time. Adding this position to the pay plan and utilizing it during this time should not cause an increase to the overall salary budgeted for EMS and non-emergency transport, as the starting salary is less than that of an EMT. Certified EMT. As a note, this plan is only a temporary fix to a very serious issue. We are hoping to be able to implement other initiatives to be able to attract and retain employees for the Berkeley County EMS Department, as well as NET, to be able to continue to provide the same level of service and care to the citizens of Berkeley County.
Right.
Sure.
Very special training that has to go with this.
My understanding, no, but Mitch is available to add to that if it does.
So being an ex-driver that works with the high rates of speed, special training involved with making sure we can support that. Maybe Mitch could add to this as he is on the line.
Mitch, you're there? You're on mute, Mitch. Could you open, please?
I'm here.
There you go. Did you hear the question?
No, sir. I did not hear the question.
Yeah, Commissioner
Cooper, what it is basically under the new guidelines for a driver for a EMS vehicle. Is there any special training this person is going to have since you think
of? I can't hear.
Okay. Mitch, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Great. The question the commissioner Trent asked is, considering this new position, even though it's a temporary position, is there any specific training qualifications that this person would have to make or have in order to assume these duties?
Right now, the state of North Carolina says that all they have to have is a valid driver's license. We put within the job description that we'd like for them to get CPR training. And to be honest with you, our target audience for this position is going to be in the schools with people that are taking EMT now. but during our interview process, it will be understanding that it'll be driving the larger vehicles, ambulances per se, and we may have to do some emergency transports. So we would send them through an EVD class once they are hired into the county. And this waiver is only good for 6 months through the state.
Right. So you would send them to that training through the county at least before they
yes, sir.
Get on the vehicle. Okay. Great. Commissioner?
That's fine. Yeah.
Great. Any other questions first concerning the presentation Ms. Ward made for us? Anything?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think Director Cooper, I think that's a great idea, because as sooner or later the person in transport may want to go back to class or go to class and become certified. So that's a great start.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and I would agree too, because we've always talked about trying to grow our own, and that's why we have the classes in the right. in the schools in the first place. So this is a great opportunity to get somebody in early. Hopefully, we can learn a little bit about them. We can learn a little bit more about us, and we can move forward. Okay, the floor is open for approval of this motion.
I make the motion that we accept.
I'm sorry,
Commissioner Robinson, Commissioner Ballas, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next thing on our agenda is a Medicaid expansion update, Department of Social Services, from Ms. Daphne Little. Ms. Little, good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. How are you doing today?
I have brought my Medicaid supervisor with me, Ms. Susan Hoggard, to give you an update. Medicaid expansion is still set for October 1st. And I'm gonna let her give you some details. And then since I listened to the presentation last time, I knew you guys had some questions about a presentation. So I'm gonna let her talk and then I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about community outreach.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm gonna talk about the Medicaid plans for Medicaid managed care, which goes into the tailored plans, standard plans, Medicaid Direct, and things like that. Who qualifies for a standard plan? The standard plan started back. This is where you get Medicaid plus a standard plan, and there is four standard plans that was offered July 1st, 2021, that became part of NCDHHS. It's Healthy Blue, AmeriHealth Caritas, United Healthcare, and WellCare. And to who qualifies for a standard plan? Most families and children, pregnant women, people who are blind or disabled and do not get Medicare, federally recognized tribal members or others who qualify for services through Indian Health Services. Who qualifies for the EBCI tribal option? That's the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. Federally recognized tribal members or others who qualify for services through Indian Health Services who live in the following counties, which would be over in the west: Buncombe, Clay, Cherokee, Graham, Hayward, Henderson, Jackson, Macon, Madison, Swain, and Transylvania. Who qualifies for a tailored plan? Tailored plans are more behavioral health-wise, people who get innovation waiver services, people who get traumatic brain injuries, people who may have a mental health disorder, substance abuse disorder, intellectual developmental disability, or traumatic brain injury, which is TBI. Tailored plans will start October 1st, 2023. Some people will be automatically enrolled in a tailored plan on their needs. Then they're optional whether they want to pick a tailored plan or they can still stay. They can opt to do a standard plan, which was the four I just mentioned, or they can stay in what we call, what we used to have for Medicaid is called Medicaid Direct. That's fee for service. And who qualifies for Medicaid Direct is how we used to do is children, youth in foster care, children, youth who get adopted, children who get CAP services, federally recognized Indian tribes, former foster care, people in the health insurance payment program, people in the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly, which is PACE, people who are medically needy, people who are in the CAP DA services, people who get family plan and Medicaid only, people who get Medicaid and Medicare, and people who have a mental health disorder, substance abuse disorder, intellectual developmental disability, or brain traumatic injury. To get help with these standard plans, we as Medicaid workers do not talk to the applicant beneficiary in regards to these plans. They are directed to a Medicaid enrollment broker. They provide services to help North Carolina Medicaid beneficiaries learn about their North Carolina Medicaid health care options, and you can find information about this and be able to pick your primary care provider and enroll in one of these plans. You can go to ncmedicaidplans.gov for that. And caseworkers, as us, what we do at DSS is only determine Medicaid eligibility and direct calls to the enrollment broker. There is, with these plans, managed care plans, they help include with doctor's visits, hospital visits, behavioral health care, prescriptions, eye care, medical supplies, lab tests, therapies, hospice, care management. And there is, it depends on the plans because different plans have different benefits that they carry. there's certain ones that would do like a wellness benefit, education, pregnancy benefit, transportation, youth, asthma, phone programs, and things like that. Let's see. That's about it. And I do have a little card that also talks about calling and getting help with your enrollment broker for the health plans. And like I said, the tailored plans start October 1st. And with the tailored plans, you don't always, when you have a plan, it doesn't mean that you're going to always get it. Sometimes state picks your plan. So, anyhow, y'all have any questions?
I do. I have a couple of questions. First of all, you know, we've been waiting for Medicaid expansion in Burt T for a good while. And one of the reasons is because when they look at the counties that would benefit the most from Medicaid expansion, meaning those who have a large number of people who would qualify and who are not currently covered, Burt T County was very high on the list. So this is a good thing. But my question is, how do we make sure that those folks who now would be eligible are aware of their now eligibility? How do we get the message? How do we communicate with them? How do we get them signed up?
Okay. So I listened to your presentation last time. And what I did was I have reached out to Brittany Bullock, which is the outreach manager for the enrollment brokers. So what we need basically is some community outreach. We need some presentations. We need to get the word out. I also reached out to Ms. Thompson over at the Senior Citizen Centers just so we can basically have a session. But we have to schedule it. We have to decide what's the best way to get different individuals out there. I want to make sure that we do not breach confidentiality, because what we do is eligibility and applications. So we can get the word out and we can talk about it. And I want the enrollment brokers out there to explain it in full detail about the plans that are available, the benefits to each one. But when it comes to the application part, we need to have a separate room. We can be there on site and we can do applications on site. However, we don't want to breach confidentiality because everybody has the right to apply. But we want to make sure that we do get the word out. So I have talked to her. And we're going to try to make sure that I reach out to some more organizations within the community so we can schedule something. I'm hoping that it'll be at the library so that way we can have more citizens that'll be able to walk through and actually talk to us if I don't get back with, or Vanita doesn't get back with me.
Well, I thank you for those, your response to all that. But my question is this: West Burt T County has a senior center also. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Thompson, I assume, will be reaching out to whoever is overseeing that in that area as far as middle management or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And also having it at the library, we all know we have a transportation issue here in Burt T County.
Okay.
Huge transportation issue where people don't have transportation to get from West Burt T County, which is, 25, 26 miles, back over here to the library. Also people coming from Powellsville area and things of that nature. It's going to be multifaceted areas where you set these programs up for people to sign up for them. And because of the transportation issues we have, we don't have mass transportation and people can take them there. Okay. And so it's going to be more of us bringing it to them instead of them coming to us.
Okay.
And that was the points that were being brought up at the last meeting, I think.
Okay.
And so just keep that in mind, if you would, please.
Yeah. It's just like the COVID shot. We took that to the people.
Okay.
You know, we set up there at Indian Woods Blue Jays Recreation Center on a Saturday with permission from their president, Anthony Roscoe, Ronald Roscoe. And you know, so we met with them and we set up an event there. We met with Mr. Spivey in Poundsville. Spivey.
Mm-hmm.
And we set up there and on Saturday, and we gave the information and shot to the people that came by. So, and then the following Saturday was set up at the community building, where that we contributed and distributed the information to the people that would show up. You know, just maybe like a 3-hour period from like 8 to 12, something like that, you know, in the morning from 9 to 12. You know, then the following Saturday, we'll be moved there all the way around the county like this.
Okay.
You know, first we had it just at the high school, but everybody, like, you know, like Commissioner Trent said, some people had travel and transportation problems. Mm-hmm. You know,
so. And just to get you up to date, very valid point there, Mr. Robinson. Every one of these buildings that he's brought up have a main sitting area like this.
Okay.
And then they also have office space or rooms that are set where they can be in private, because you're talking about confidentiality, and I get that. Okay. You can shut the door. People can sit down just like they do in here and wait to be called in behind the closed doors. Indianwoods Gym has that. The community centers have that.
Okay.
Powellsville's community center has that. I'm not sure about Kelk, but I'm pretty darn sure they do. I know Roxville does, okay, and places like that. So you would have that confidentiality or be able to afford yourself that if you went to these different areas. And I know you're new here, so that's the reason I'm throwing this out there.
And
okay?
I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. The key message here is that, you know, we can't just wait and rely on citizens to come to us and for them to understand that they have a new opportunity. We've got to take it to them. That's important, right? Communication has always been a tough thing for us in the county's biggest warehouse, 740 square miles. So it's going to be important that we take it to our citizens and leverage organizations and opportunities that are already out there. So what I would really love to see is an actual plan, a communication, something on paper saying, this is how we're going to communicate this opportunity to our citizens. We have a lot of advantages. We have a dial service that can send a message to all of our citizens, very brief message saying, we're going to be at this location on this date. Come on out, get information, see if you qualify, right? So we can get the blast messages out around specific locations dated. But let's put together a plan. It doesn't have to be anything in tremendous detail, but where are we going to do it, you know, and what resources can we leverage? But then I would also say, does the state provide any resources to us that can help us with that? If there are brochures, if there are bulletins, if they can send people to come down and help us. Because when you have to take people from your department to do this, you know, you take it away from the service that we do. So do they have resources that they can provide to us to help us in that outreach? You know, we should ask, right?
Yeah. And Ms. Lula, to add on to Commissioner Weston says, I offer to you by serving on your board, subservient board of directors, I offer myself what I can do to make a difference.
Okay. I just like to make a suggestion. Maybe consider reaching out to your local organizations such as West Roanoke Baptist Association, which has most of your pastors in the local Baptist Association, also organizations such as the Assemblies of God, because a lot of our seniors are involved in churches, and they can help you get the message and also assist with accommodation of transportation, because a lot of them have church buses and things of that nature. And most leaders care for the members they serve, so they want to get them, you know, good services, good benefits.
Commissioner Robinson made a great point. When we did the COVID testing and we took it to the citizens, the churches helped us, you know, by getting their members, or making their members aware that on this date, on this Saturday, between this hours, you can come and get your shot. You don't have to come all the way into Windsor or come all the way into some other special center, right in your own neighborhood, right? In your own backyard, you can come and get this. And people responded extremely well to it, right? I think that's what you're going to have to do. First of all, somehow get a blast message out to the larger community, telling them about this and why it's so important, and then having a schedule of places and times that they can come to, that we're going to be there. Take it to the citizens. That's important.
I want to add something. With the Medicaid expansion, we have not got any guidelines or anything. There is no work requirement. I mean, nothing has been set in stone for us moving forward with the Medicaid expansion. It's just been passed.
Right.
Now, due to the COVID expand, or, you know, all the pandemic and everything with that, we can take applications over the phone. We can do e-pass, federally facilitated marketplace. They can come in. We can mail applications out. We do, you know, what we can to help the citizens of Bertie County.
Yeah.
So it's not that we don't try. And we have had a little bit of influx, and we won't have an increase on applications because they think Medicaid expansion is already here. And, but, you know, it's not.
And your plus is well taken. You know, but what we can do now, as you're already doing, that's great. But it's going to take, once we get the rules, we need to be prepared on how we're going to take it out. Let's not wait until we get everything. Let's say right now, let's start creating a plan of how we're going to do outreach, right? Because without it, our history tells us that we do not get the results that we're looking for if we wait for citizens to come to us. We've got to take this kind of opportunity to them where they live and through trusted sources, right? That they rely on, whether that's churches, whether that's Chamber of Commerce, whether that's local senior centers. Those are places that they go to, that they respect. They can help us if we, you know, allow them, right? That's what we want.
Miss Little, just don't forget Maryhill, please. It gets overlooked a lot because it's not an incorporated town.
All right.
Do you have any more recommendations for any other outreach organizations?
I think one that Commissioner Balance gave you is critical, the West Roanoke Missionary Baptist Association. They have a lot of the churches in this area, and they have a way of getting to all of those pastors, all of those churches with direct information. They can even perhaps, like Indiana Woods did for us, be a center for us, offer themselves up as a center for their congregation and others in the area.
You have the superintendent right there, too. He might can help you out. School system.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All righty. Okay. Next on our agenda is Fire Protection Services Tax District Update, Emergency Management Director Mitch Cooper. Mitch, you there?
So, Chairman, I'm going to take Mitch's requested or asked if I can take the lead on that. Cool. He couldn't be here with us physically, and he may not be able to speak right now. So if you have any questions, then we can see if he's available. But I'll get started.
That works. Thanks.
So as you all know, we have for some time now been undergoing a fire study to investigate what our options are outside of the general fund approach that we currently take for funding our fire departments. And we are the last county in Bertie County to only fund fire departments through the general fund appropriation. And what did I say, county? In the state. Hundred counties in the state, we're the last county to do that in the state. Thank you for correcting that. So that being said, right now, what we're doing is proposing a single unified fire protection service tax district. And so, of course, as you all know, we've spoken to all of the municipalities, and this tax district will include all unincorporated areas of Bertie County. All right. It will also include all municipalities except the town of Windsor. Okay. So in order for us to move forward with this, the first thing that has to be done is, of course, the report has been presented that includes those findings and that framework notation for the study. We'll also have to pass this resolution, which calls for a public hearing. The public hearing is proposed for June 20th, which is when we have a regular meeting in June. That will be the second regular meeting that we have scheduled for June. And one thing that the resolution includes is making sure that everyone is aware that there is a cap. So along with this tax district will come a tax.
Can I ask a question real quick? And I hate to interrupt you, but I'm looking at this and I read this earlier.
Okay.
You've got 0.37 cents in service district. Is that a 37 cent tax increase?
Absolutely not.
Or no. Somebody had a mistake and it put a zero. It should be 0.037, is that, am I correct?
That is exactly what it should be. Are you looking at
I'm looking at the
budget message. Yes, sir. Okay. That should absolutely be 3 cents.
Okay.
A little bit over 3 cents.
0.037. Absolutely. Not 0.37.
Absolutely. Yes. So what I was about to say is the cap will be 15 cents. Okay. However, we currently, in the past, we have provided 30,000 to each of our 12 fire departments, which gives us a total of 360,000. So in order to maintain that current level of funding, the tax for this district will likely be approximately 4 cents. So thank you, Commissioner Trent, not 37 cents, but a little bit over, or a bit over 3 cents, not quite four. Okay. So that is pretty much where we are right now. Again, this fire district will include all unincorporated areas of Bertie County and all municipalities with the exception of Windsor. There is a cap, again, of 15 cents, but based on the current funding of $360,000, we're looking at approximately a 4 cent tax. Commissioner Ballant.
Yes. I've had some concerns with citizens questioning the cap.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are concerned about that 15. That 15, they wanted more, based on what I'm gathering, they wanted more at a 10, like a 10 cap.
Oh, they want a cap of 10 cents.
They're just worried that it's the thing.
Yeah, probably so.
They're worried that it could go up.
15. I have actually heard 7 cents from numerous people, since that is about the maximum anybody's paying as far as a fire tax in our area, surrounding counties. It's about 7 cents.
I think we need to be careful about the wording. I think we need to be able to say that is the maximum allowable, right? The 15 cent by state. Mm-hmm. That is not what we are planning to do. That is the maximum allowable by the state. And I think that's where the confusion comes, right? But people not understanding that, they're thinking that, oh, we may want to do 15. That's right. Not the case. So right. We can iron this out in the public hearing, but I think it actually probably needs to be addressed sooner than that, because there's a misconception out there
mm-hmm.
that it could be.
Being on page 13, is that the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners is petitioned to volunteer the 7 counties.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
I mean, I know that's the maximum of the state.
Right. Well, yeah, we have to say that. I think that the requirement from the state is we say that this is the maximum cap.
But I think that is not our intention. I understand, but I think what the citizens are saying is they don't want us to have that ability to set a maximum cap 15. They want that lowered back down. Am I correct? Because that's what the wording I got. Is that what you heard? That's what you heard?
And I understand that concern, but as you all said, that ball is in your court. You can take it to 15 cents. So I think it's important that the public knows that. But if you all want to say we don't plan to take it anywhere near 15, we don't plan to take it to 10, you can do that.
Right.
But again, you can, but it's up to us or the board to confirm or to put that out there with the citizens. No, that is not our plan or intention.
Right.
I think that needs to definitely be addressed at a lower price because, number one, you know, Bertie County is a very property county.
Well, we're in a meeting right now. You want us to address it right now?
You know, and
should we address it right now since we're in a meeting? That way you can alter the paperwork.
Well, so let's be clear. I don't know. I need to be clear on what's being requested. So there is a cap of 15 cents, doesn't mean that that's what the board is going to do. And I understand what you're saying. So right now the board can say, we don't plan to take it above 10 cents. I'm not recommending that you take it to 10 or 15. What I'm saying is in order to maintain current level, it would be approximately 4. So this is only here just to say it absolutely cannot, will not go above 15 cents.
Right, and
it's just like
it is, why don't we make it clear what your recommendation is? That's in the record today, right? We're gonna have more discussion about that when we get to the budget, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's gonna be in the record what county manager's recommendation is. That is not approved by the board yet. There will have to be a public hearing
first.
And then we'll approve. Then we'll commit it. So there's no reason, I don't think, for us to commit to anything at this point other than making citizens understand that the recommendation today from the county manager is 4 cents. The board is going to be reviewing that, considering it at our public meeting on the 20th. And the max that the state will allow is 15. And I don't think there's any reason to say anything more than that. I mean, we're telling people what we're recommending today, what your recommendation is, right? But we don't know what our recommendation is going to be until we actually meet and discuss this.
I think they just want to have the
state. Right. Right. Exactly.
We can, but I'm what I'm asking is, what would be the reason for that if our recommendation at this point is much less than that?
Because that means a recommendation that in time should be 15 cents, and that's what they want to say, that it would never go to 15 cents until hearings have to happen again.
Why wouldn't you make it 5 cents? Or 10 cents.
What, well, then I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion. We go to 7 cents, and that's where the cap should be at. We can put it in paperwork now.
I'll second that motion.
So, wait. And that's one motion, yeah. Go ahead.
I just think it's just a little bit confusing. I understand the concern from the county citizens. I understand this, the concerns from the board. However, the 15 cent cap still doesn't change. I mean, it still exists. Again, the board can come back and change it. Even later down the road, you can come back and change it. A different board can come back and change it. This is just simply saying it can't go above 15 cents.
No, we get that. We get that. We get all that.
Well, the problem arises is when we get phone calls and say, Mr. Robinson, the 15% could go up. It's just like doing a loan. You know, if you do a loan that don't have a fixed rate, but the rate could go to the max.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, people don't want that.
I understand. All I'm saying is that it can still, the max is still 15. The cap is still 15 cents, whether you put 10 cents or not.
Yeah, that's like, for the state. That's but the not, state. That's for the state.
It's not the county until you go back and have a hearing.
That's
again.
The state.
That's not the county.
Gentlemen. Can I chime in? I'm here.
Yes, you can.
The law states that the county would accept a 15 cent max. There's, like you're saying, there's nothing set saying that you have to go to that 15 cent, but they had to put something in law stating what that cap is going to be, just like the law states that the general tax can be $1.50. That's, they had to put a cap on it. That's the cap we're accepting by the state. Now, if the county commissioners can set forth what that rate's going to be, and that recommendation today is that 3.7 cent, but that 15 is the law to set a cap.
Well, we can also change that cap as county commissioners too, and not go by what the state says and say the cap is going to be this, correct?
My understanding is that 15 cent is the cap by statute, and the county commissioners setting that rate, what they set, see deem necessary to operate the fire funds.
The reason we're having a public hearing and the reason that what the county manager recommends to us is not the law, because we set that after hearing from the public and considering the larger budget. That's what we're going to do on the 20th. Today, county manager just announced what his recommendation is, right? Mitch is right. We have to say that the state, what says the cap is this. If we tell citizens what the county manager has recommended, and that we are going to make that decision after the public hearing and in our budget negotiations, and that will be announced. To come in and say some number less than this now, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense to me. When that's what we're going to be working.
Let me ask you a question.
That's what we're going to be negotiating.
County manager, why don't we have an attorney here today anyhow?
Why don't we have an attorney here today?
Typically when we have a county commissioner's meeting, this is considered a commissioner's meeting, we have an attorney here. But we don't have one here today.
No, we don't. And it's because, number one, it's a work session, and we don't always have an attorney here.
It doesn't matter. We are discussing things in the budget, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this here would be a great discussion to have with an attorney here. This is the legality of this. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Today, this is a work session. Usually at our evening meetings, we always have an attorney. This is a work session. And so an attorney is not present. An attorney was scheduled to be present during the closed session that we were planning to have, as you all know. So an attorney had not planned to be here until noon.
Yeah, I want to make clear on the point here. The point is, as Mitch pointed out, the state's maximum is the state's maximum. All we need to say to citizens is that is the state's maximum, not what this board intends to set. There's been a recommendation from our county manager of 4 cents. We're having a public meeting on the 20th. Citizens can come and we're going to review that recommendation, the entire budget, and we will set what our recommendation from the board will be for the budget. To do that prior to going through the budget, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Well, we haven't even reviewed other elements that are in the budget. So that's my recommendation that we let citizens know that this, we are not intending to cap anything at 15%. That is what the state requires us by language to put into the notice.
Commissioner White, Commissioner Ballas, what was the point? Y'all brought that up. What was your main point of bringing that up? I just want to get that out again.
I wanted to make sure that I represented the citizens that approached me about it. And what the chairman has presented, I'm fine with that. I just wanted to make sure that all of this information is on the table so we can analyze it as we go forward.
Mr. White, what was yours?
So, again, if you look on page 13, I understand the state cap is 15 cents. Not slow about that. Got it. But it does not mean Bertie County can't set a different cap.
Right.
If you look on page 13, one, two, three, the fourth paragraph, it says the Bertie County Board of Commissioners is positioned to voluntarily set a cap at 15 cents. Mm-hmm. So we have volunteered to do that. I'm not saying to go against what Juan is suggesting of the 0.37, whatever it is. I'm just saying citizens have reached out because they feel that it could easily go up to 15 cents at the fell swoop. I was just suggesting we listen to citizens, especially if we're not planning on going to 10 over 10 cents or 7 cents, that we just hear them out because that way it would have to go under review all over again. That was the whole.
Would it satisfy you if we corrected that language to say that the state's requirement is to say that their max is 15%. However, this county can set a lower rate, and we plan to do that as a part of our budget negotiations and listening to the public.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
This is Jody. I'm reading an article from the School of Government that kind of sums up this argument. The statute sets the maximum tax rate at 15 cents per hundred. A county may not accept a petition or hold a referendum that calls for a different maximum rate limit, even if it is lower than 15 cents per $100 valuation. So as Commissioner Trent stated earlier, this is something we probably need to get the county attorney to review.
Exactly. And I think the reason for that is because we do that when we meet. We know that we have the authority to put in place something that is much lower than that, right? We have that authority, right? But also the state gives us a guideline, which is say you cannot exceed this. But until we actually have that negotiation, until we actually review the budget, now that's the purpose of this.
All right, so then I'll tell you what Mr. Chairman, then I'm going to retract that motion and go off what Tax Administrator Jody Ray has just said. Perfect. That he agrees with what I said, that the attorney needs to review this because we're getting some double language here.
Well, wait, I didn't hear Jody Ray.
Jody, didn't you say that?
Wait, what I heard him say is that he read the statute.
Jody, what did you say? I'm going to hear what you said again.
This is a quote out of the statute from the School of Government, just two sentences. The statute sets the maximum tax rate at 15 cents per hundred. The county may not accept a petition or hold a referendum that calls for a different maximum rate limit, even if it is lower than 15 cents.
He said that we cannot do that, what you just suggested.
Did you not just say that we needed to let the attorney review that, though, also?
But based on the conversation I'm hearing, I think there's some confusion that the attorney needs to review and get back to us.
Okay, so that's what I said.
Let's let the attorney do that. But I think Jody made it very clear what the state said, that we as a board at this stage cannot set something less than 15%. That was the argument, that we wanted to set something less than 15%. We can't do that at this stage. So we need, if we need a confirmation from the attorney, let's do that. But understand, the public should understand that we have no intention. This is just the guideline. We have a recommendation that's much lower, and we have a process via public hearing to hear from citizens, to take a look at the budget and decide what that rate is going to be, right? So
yeah, and I don't hate that, what he just said. I don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, the language just says that we have volunteered to do it at that. Yeah. So if you want to put North Carolina law says it has to be 15%, I'm good.
No, it don't have to be 15%. It says, only thing Commissioner Wilson's saying, it has to be a hearing first.
That's exactly right.
That's the only thing. It has to be a hearing first.
But the attorney needs to review this before we deal with
it. Can be set. It has to be a hearing first.
That's correct.
That's the only thing.
So let's let the public know that. Right.
Mr. Chairman.
The attorney review this thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have to add that the requirements for the hearing are no less than 2 weeks of a notice, and we have to do that twice before the June 20th meeting to meet the deadline by June 30 for any adoption into the budget for next fiscal year.
So that's two meetings prior to?
We have to do two notices prior to, and that was the point of bringing a resolution today, so we could do a notice this week and a notice 2 weeks prior to the 20th meeting. So if you are going to get the attorney involved, it would need to be soon if we're going to meet this budget for next fiscal year.
I think we hear you, Mitch. So we changed the language after speaking with the attorneys quickly to Mike's, to Commissioner White's point. I think we can still make that notice, right?
So, Chairman, no, in order for this to be effective as recommended July 1, we would need to advertise as soon as like Wednesday.
Right.
So that being said, I would like to recommend if the board can approve this conditionally, like upon the attorney's review, and upon his review, if he suggests or agrees that we should say, you know, pretty much what y'all said about the law says this, pretty much, I guess that would be appropriate based on what Jody said, just the law, not the change in the cap. Because it, you know, I think it's been confirmed that we can't do that, but we can include some language in here that suggests the state is doing it, not the county doing it.
That's my suggestion. Okay. Would that satisfy everyone?
Yeah. Greg? I'll make a motion that we approve this as for the attorneys to review, okay, and to get back with us ASAP as far as the amendment when it comes to the fire tax, if there can be or if there can't be,
yeah. And allow
the cap.
And allow the manager to make that determination because we're not meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Second. All those in favor, please say aye. All those opposed, nay. Let's have it. Thank you. Mitch, I think we can accomplish both things. Thank you.
Thank you.
What else?
One more thing yeah. I wanted to bring on that point. Part B of that conversation is Windsor is not part of the movement, correct?
Yes.
The question was brought up, will they continue to receive the same funds that they receive annually? And if so, where's the justification in it?
Okay, so that's a great question. I plan to get into that during my presentation, but since you asked, I can go ahead and address it now since we're talking about that. So Windsor, like every other fire department, usually gets $30,000 from the county. Since the unincorporated areas of the county will be a part of the district, part of Windsor will be in the district, but not the town of Windsor. That being said, 45% of the tax base in Windsor is within the town limits. So I propose in the my recommended budget plan that we include 45% of $30,000, which is $14,500. I recommend that the county provides that as a general fund appropriation, and the unincorporated area of Windsor will be funded by the fire tax, if that makes sense. So since they opted out, the town of Windsor will not be funded by the tax district, if that makes sense.
That's fair, man.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, and we'll approach that with more detail when we get to the budget. That's a great question. Great question. Okay. Anything else? Can I manage? All right, great. Next on our agenda is the Berkeley County budget, public schools budget, presented by Superintendent Dr. Otis Smallwood.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, my presentation won't be so sticky.
You sure about that? No.
Not asking for any taxes, increases. But good morning, Chairman West and Vice Chairman White, Commissioner Balance, Commissioner Trent, Commissioner Robinson, County Manager, everyone assembled here today. I am Otis Smallwood. I'm here for our annual presentation of the local appropriation of our operating budget for 23-24. I also have, excuse me, Mr. Stephen Harrell here, our finance officer. So my presentation won't take too long. You all have the budget document with you, and it's broken out into sections. So what's on the PowerPoint is a very condensed version of what's in this book. It's more so for the people in the room and the citizens to kind of have some visual of what we're talking about. But everything that you need for your decisions will be in this book. So who's my tech person? Joe,
if you would. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, to the next slide, to the next page rather. So of course in section one is the superintendent's message, which is required by law. You can read that at your leisure if you have not already read it. I do just want to point out in our message is that what we try to do, we take our fiduciary responsibilities very seriously, and we work by our core principles, which are in our strategic plan, and that is supporting the whole child, making sure we hold everybody accountable, working with an enrichment mindset, building positive relationships. And you may hear it often if you follow us on social media about keeping the main thing the main thing. Of course, that focus is our students. And then in the next to the last paragraph of that message, we talk about relationships and rapport with our stakeholders. And I certainly do want to thank you all for being good relationship, good partners with the school system. You've been very supportive to me in the district since I've been here. And I just want to go on record again to say thank you for that. All right, section two, next, Joe. Of course, it's just our strategic plan. If you want to go to the next page, that document is very familiar. It's the same as last year. Everything we do, every piece of money we spend, we try to direct it right back to these strategic priorities in some form or fashion. Section three, which is next, Joe. But no, it's not. So before we get into that, I just do want to touch on some of our accomplishments that we've been able to going into the 22-23 school year. That may or may, it's in this book somewhere, but that's just a few of our accomplishments, which are some outcomes of the money that we spend. Of course, going into this school year, we had a 92.3% cohort graduation rate, and it's the highest in history, and it's up from 78.3. Of course, in our increased ELG scores, we are in learning recovery mode instead of learning loss from the pandemic. So we have seen as much as 35 points gains across EOGs and cohort areas, as much as 35 percentage points, all with the exception, that should be grade eight math, I'm sorry about that. Our math one or algebra one, as you may be familiar with calling it, the scores have doubled from the previous year. Our math three scores has grown by 10 points. We've added theater arts in our elementary schools, trying to build a pipeline to the middle high. We've added a martial arts program to teach kids discipline, self-control. That started in our elementary schools this school year, and we hope to take it to the middle school next year. We have more students earning associate degrees. Berkeley High School had its very first student to earn an associate's degree with the class of 22. So we're very proud about that. And we are continuing to add advanced placement level courses and honor courses to our middle and high school curriculums. All right, next, Joe. So the local plan and budget, what may probably be most of interest to you, the next slide. That is a breakdown of the requested funds that we've asked for. Of course, that's the second page into section three. What we're asking for is very consistent with what we've asked for every year, which is the little over $3 million. We are projected to receive about $70,000 from fines and forfeitures, of course, the quarter cent sales tax, $275,000 in appropriation from our local fund balance of $325,000 gives you the grand total from local that we plan to operate next year is the $3.6 million. And on the top of that is the funded amounts of how we break out each by every department in the school district, from student services to the office of superintendent. And in your handout, it gives you a more detailed about purpose and object codes of how we plan on to use that money for stipends and coaches supplements and staff supplements in each one of those particular areas. All right, Joe. And of course, that's just a pie graph of that same information broken out to, you know, kind of help digest the information better. Next is our capital outlay request, and that is in section, it's really section 5. So next, Joe, that is the pie graph of the 375 by schools of the capital projects we plan on completing in the 23-24 school year with the $375,000 appropriation. Next. All right, that's small, but it is in your book, and that is in more detail about each project that the principals requested for their schools going into next school year to total the $375,000. All right, Joe, next. So that slide there is our fund balance slide. And of course, we're very proud of we've been able to build a solid fund balance. As you can see, it's increased by 400% since 17-18. So for a district our size, we're kind of solid.
What section is that in? I want to see more detail.
This is in section 3, sorry, under local budget. It's the third page of the local budget book.
I got you. Right. Thank you.
So, of course, our COVID relief dollars were able to help us with being able to put some money, save some money, too. But we're coming up to a funding cliff with COVID because that money is going to run out next year. But we'll talk about that in just a little bit in the next slide. All right. So that is it for local. If you would go to section 6 is our state budget. And, of course, this is projected. We don't actually have our state budget yet, but we're projecting it based on our enrollment. So, Joe, if you go to the next slide. On that sheet there, you can see, of course, we are experiencing a, just like our population in the county, our student population is decreasing as well. From 16-17 to current day, we've had a 25% rate of decrease in our students. As you can see, we had about 2,300 kids in 2016-17. And we're projected to have about 1,738 next year, and that's K-12. And from the time I arrived here in 2019, we've had about a 17% rate of increase, kind of in line with what we're experiencing with our county population. But of course, you know, when students go, so goes the dollars. But we've been trying to be very strategic and careful about not having to request anything additional from the county by taking care of positions through attrition. So we haven't added a lot of positions because we know what we're projecting to lose kids. And so we can't keep personnel on staff because we know that's the biggest part of any of our budget. Yes.
Before you go in, I wanted to be clear on one thing when I'm looking at the state numbers. You know, there's been a lot of discussion in the legislature, and also they've even floated some numbers around what the new impact will be on school funding next year. Is that final yet?
No.
And that's not in this budget.
So the biggest, that funding formula based on a weighted formula, weighted student model, did not make crossover. And it seems to be on pause for right now, but it could come back up
because that 20 people, citizens should know that if that were to pass, I think the impact on this school is somewhere around, what, $2 million?
Yeah, so we had one report by the North Carolina Department of Justice saying that if the new weighted student formative model that some of the senators were presenting, every county in our region would have been impacted negatively, I believe. But Bertie alone, it was like $2.4 million from the state fund. So I think when it was put out there, nobody realized it was going to be that big of an impact. So they kind of took it back off the table to study it more. But it could come back up 24, 25 and beyond and further for a new.
I want to be clear, because it did not make crossover. Does that mean that they will not be in this upcoming budget?
So far as we know right now, with what the Senate has proposed and the House budget says they have proposed, this, that is not a part of either one of those budgets. And the law itself, the proposed legislation itself, did not make crossover.
Right.
So we're safe going into 23, 24.
And I have one other little question. On the $275,000 quarter cent sales tax, was that last year's number? The quarter cent sales tax?
What's that?
That was $275,000? That's last year's number. But do we know, have a good idea of what that will be? Right, so I just want to be aware.
Yeah, this is all.
And that's still taking care of teachers' bonuses and.
Yeah, right. We use all that.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, good.
So we look forward to hoping that that will be an increase automatically.
Absolutely, yes.
Correct. Just want to be clear.
Yeah. All right, next, Joe. So, of course, that's just a graph of how we break out our state allotments by purpose code. Instructional services takes up about 7-8% of the budget, and then system-wide is support and ancillary services take up about 22% of the state budget. All right, Joe. Section 7. So in your book, you have a more detail about purpose codes and where we try to budget all that $18 million. But federal budget is in Section 7. All right, next. And of course, that's just a graph of our plan and allotment for $13.3 million. And of course, in this federal budget, it seems a little high because we still got COVID dollars that are budgeted through federal, but we have a plan that will spend that, that will be gone in the next couple of years. But right now we still have it. And that's budgeted in our federal purpose allotments. All right. So in that section towards the back, this is still Section 7, we're talking about what we have budgeted to use our COVID spending for. So, you know, of course, when this came out with COVID, it was a lot of air quality projects that we were approved to use. And so a big chunk of that money, we're upgrading the HVAC systems at Windsor Elementary and Corain. And of course, all the systems are beyond their life cycle. But that's what the money was budgeted for, and they finally have started to work on that. Equipment has finally started to come in. They're doing some groundwork now, but they will be full force in both of those buildings during the summer when the kids get out.
Of course, sir.
Yes, sir.
Have they started work on the field?
All right, that's in the next slide, but we have our, I won't say groundbreaking, but we have our hoorah meeting next Tuesday with AR Chess, and that's the person
AR,
that's bidding.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that has been scheduled. The contract has been voted on by our local board, so that work will hopefully start by the 1st of June.
Okay.
We hope that it will be finished by football season, but they weather permitting, they are pushing for that, but it's no guarantee for that. All right, so we have about $3.5 million tied up in air quality projects between those two buildings. The next slide, we're talking about Bertie High School and our athletic complex, or our outdoor learning space. And that, of course, is to upgrade the track, well, new track, lighting, tennis courts, scoreboards, and all that drainage in the football field. Of course, phase one was that with the light, where the lights. We've done that.
Correct.
And the next phase of that was the fields. So originally we thought we can do all of that for 3.8, but we got laughed at. So the project. Now it's 3.8 without the lights.
Isn't it funny how that happens? I mean, it's gone crazy.
It is. Christ, man. Couldn't believe it, you know. Me and my support.
It's unbelievable.
It is. So we have a, so we're going to have to break this up into phases again because we just don't have the funding to do it all, but we're hitting the major parts first. All right, and of course, that's what's on this slide there. The track resurfacing, the football field upgrades, that will start in June, and that is roughly $2.9 million. And the other sports fields, the tennis courts, of course, we're going to call that phase 2B or phase 3 to finish that as funding becomes available. All right. So pretty exciting times in the community since our kids haven't been able to run track home in several years. All right, school nutrition budget. Of course, that's our enterprise fund, which means it takes care of itself. The next slide, Joe. We anticipate about $2.5 million in revenue, and of course, with salary. You can see how we break it out between salary and operating expenses. This is, of course, a contingent on us getting reimbursements from the federal government. We'll have it at lunches we serve. All of our kids do get reimbursed lunch. But we've been very fortunate not to have had tapped into local to support child nutrition. They've been self-supporting, and a lot of districts can't do that. So we've been very blessed in that regard, that we don't have to dip in our local expenditures to support child nutrition. All right. Next slide, Joe. Section 9 talks about potential risk. And I hit on this earlier. Of course, we're facing a funding cliff with our ESSA funds. But again, we try to prepare ourselves. We didn't put a lot of people in our ESSA dollars because we know that we can't sustain people when the money runs out. So we've been very strategic about how many people we put in those funds. We had to put some in for learning loss. And we did do that with some instructional coaches and interventionists. But next year, next school year will be the last year we can fund those out of our ESSA funds. Of course, another funding, a potential risk to our budget is out of district transfers. We still have quite a few families that are not satisfied and decide to send their child to other districts or to private schools. And so we're still working on us as well to make sure that we take care of families and what their needs are. The whole harmless provision is, of course, you know, we got a sliding scale with our enrollment. The state does not always hold us harmless. So that is a potential risk. And stuff like retirement and hospitalization rates, utility rate increase, you know, those are all fluid. They go up and down, or go up. They don't come down, go up all the time. But so those are always potential risks to our budget as well. Again, some other risks. Commissioner Weston brought this up a few minutes ago. This was legislation as of May 3rd. That funding model is what you mentioned. That could be a potential risk to us. But when this was printed, it was on May 3rd. It was still in talks, but we know that's on pause for right now. So that that's on the next slide, Joe. I'm sorry. Yeah, so that Senate Bill 670 is on pause, but we know it could come back at any time. Senate Bill 406 and House Bill 283 is all about charter school expansion. You know, the state is on an aggressive move to expand charter schools. And of course, that can be a threat to districts, especially districts like ours. It has threatened us before. But they're really pushing to increase funding to go into charter schools and allowing vouchers for families to attend private schools.
And the bad thing about that, and I don't mean to cut you off, Dr. Smallwood, but the bad thing about this charter school thing is they turn around and take the money from you for the student because the student goes to the charter school, okay? That money's gone. That's and right. I forget how many dollars, but it was $13,000 to $15,000, something of that nature is what I remember. But if that child only stays there a month or 2 months or 3 months, you don't get that money back.
No, sir.
You don't get the money back.
No.
That has been, that is the worst written statutes when it comes to charter schools. They should have to reimburse that money one way or the other.
So that's been a cry about that for years, and some other funds too that they are advocating for public schools to send to charters. But then when charter schools get certain gifts, they don't have to give it to us. But, you know, some of those things were cleaned up in that legislation, but again, they're doing all they can to expand it. And the Office of State Budget and Management put out a report that's saying in the next 2 years, our state budget could decrease by $277 million overall, and that money will be funded to charter schools, expand vouchers. And that's what those two laws there are summation of, those two bills listed are the summation of those. Yep. Yeah.
Right now, it's a shame. It's a shame, man.
Yeah, those three. All right. Next, Joe, Section 10, Future Facilities Planning. So we know where we are with the budget and times, and we try to, again, to make the best use of every dollar that we get from the state and from local. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I put out a three-part phase for building usage in our county because of the decrease in enrollment. So phase one has been completed. You know, early colleges on the campus where we are, the old 900 building. And it's been pretty smooth, except with a couple of students fighting tooth and nail because they didn't want to go. But they're seniors and they're graduating, so I won't have to get them emails anymore about not wanting to be in that building. Of course, the Askerville Pre-K Center in Askerville is going to close on June 30th to students. We'll use it this summer for the Y, for their summer program. But that building will close. That was phase two. Pre-K will be moving back to their home schools. Then, of course, phase three was something that I put out to my board about possibly on the west side of the county merging those two elementary schools. And it's all because of numbers. So we'll see what that conversation will go for 23-24.
So that is still on the table as a possibility for this school year. Your board is not.
They haven't ruled it out yet, but we will start having conversations at the early stages of 23 and 24 to see where they want to take this.
I want to make sure I understand that, because there are four elementary schools now. I know there are two that you consider consolidation on the west side, but what about the other two? Is there consideration there?
Not yet, West Bertie is really an outlier too. We're so stretched out, but West Bertie and Atlanta are relatively close, and a lot of those routes really kind of overlap, right? So that would be an easy consolidation. But you got Windsor here, and Corrine is, you know, 26 miles out, way out. So that configuration with Windsor, we haven't gotten there yet. So it may come to that or something, as far as reconfiguring, but no, we haven't had that conversation about the other two yet.
Now, would it be the Orlando school closing and going to West Bertie?
Yes.
Okay.
Or that would be my recommendation, but with the population in both buildings, they could fit in either building.
Yeah.
But we know West Bertie has a newer section.
Right. Yeah.
Superintendent.
Yes, sir.
I recommend Howley and suggest Howley that we still use small class sizes. I experienced this year situation we talked about at Windsor, where it was too many kids in one class. You know, and hopefully when you go to merge, you take all that in consideration. If you go to Orlando and West Bertie, that we don't jam them classes too tight, where the kids won't get the instructions that they deserve or they need.
So we have class size maximum now in K-3. So we can't exceed the cap in K-3 by law anyway.
Well, what's the maximum size, 25?
I knew you were gonna ask me that, but I don't know it off the top of my head. Was it 21, 22? I think you can go up to 22 with a waiver.
22, okay.
Yeah, 4 and 5 and above, there are no maximums at this point. So not that we try to cram those classrooms full, but
there's don't do that, man, because the kids don't deserve that. Family don't deserve that. And, you know, the teachers definitely don't deserve that. Trying to teach to more kids than they can reach.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I really appreciate that, because, you know, especially when we don't have to.
Right.
You know, so, we had to, feel different. But when you don't have to, you know.
Well, we take all that consideration if they decide to go that. But it would be, class size wouldn't be an issue. But we can better utilize the resources that we have, where we wouldn't have one school with one grade per teacher, and that class is full because you only got one third grade teacher. Whereas now, when you put two schools together, you might have three third grade teachers, right? And those third grade teachers can be distributed evenly.
Right.
So that's what we have a lot of time in these small schools. We got one teacher per grade, right. And as those kids come, that's where they have to go because we only have one.
Right.
But merging populations together will help alleviate some of that.
Yeah. Right.
All right, and the next section, of course, Joe, is our budget resolution that our board approved earlier this month, and we are operating on a $39.3 million appropriations between all of our funding sources. All right, I believe there's one more slide. Joe, next. And again, that has nothing to do with the budget per se, but you know, I usually begin it in my meetings. I work with this slide because it kind of helps us keep focus on the child. And with everything that goes on in the lives of our children, most of it has nothing to do with the child itself. But we come together to try to mitigate those barriers to make sure kids have a fighting chance. So I just want to thank you all for being partners of the school system and making sure that problems don't hinder children from progressing.
I come out, I have one question, one last question, financial question for you. I noticed that, you know, the fund balance for the 21-22 school year looked about $2.5 million. Do you have a current projection as to what you are expecting the fund balance at the end of this fiscal year?
We do not. Our auditors have already started to come and pull certain documents to pre-audit, but at this point, no, we don't have a projection of what.
You have a guess?
Do you
have any indication as to whether or not you think it's going to be strengthened or whatever?
I don't have a projection at this time.
Superintendent, I have a comment to make to the audience, to my fellow board members, commissioners, about the superintendent we have, Dr. Otis Smallwood. Through my tenure, I worked with several superintendents, including serving on the Board of Education. He is the first superintendent. He is the first superintendent to offer scholarships back to the students that he superintends. You know, that speaks volume about the person that we have being our superintendent. You know, I never heard of that in all the traveling I do. Beaufort County superintendent, Warren County superintendent, Chowan County superintendent, Pasputane, Pequimans, you know, Durham County, and the list go on and on. I know for a fact that he need to be applauded for that.
Might I also add, Dr. O, I call him Dr. O. But this is well put together, man. I commend you, well prepared, well put together. I just applaud you, you know. A child could have followed you on this.
Thank you, Commissioner Balance, but our finance office is here. You had the pleasure of sitting beside my HR director and my, I have two more people on my cabinet. Principals, we are, you know, this is a product of us all. And this, I try to take a team approach. It's not about me, you know, I just try to do what we got to do for kids and Bertie.
Well, the biggest thing I've seen up here is the graduation rate, 92%. Yep. I mean, that's just unheard of. I mean, it was just exciting to see that. I know what it was when I first got elected, and wasn't nowhere near 92%. So,
thank you, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I also like to say that, you know, one of the comments I hear all the time is from parents is, you know, just the way that they are, how the school system is receptive to parents' concerns and availability of parents to have dialogue, not only with the administration and teachers and staff, but the physical plant and how great the physical plant is maintained. Whether that's, you know, we're fortunate to have a couple of newer schools,
right,
but also the school's administration building complex, which is used by everybody, including the public, right?
That's
what you've done with limited resources to improve that plant and maintain those older schools, it's been tremendous, and the public can see that. That shows how much the system cares, right, about providing for the students, and that's tremendous. Make one other comment. Commissioner Robinson said something about the scholarship that you are, and I want to be clear that Dr. Smallwood is providing to students. There's something that's done in the neighboring county. I won't even name the county, but it's a neighboring county. But in the last few years, their board of commissioners have actually in their budget included scholarships for schools. And one of neighboring county, I think it's about the fourth year in a row, they're giving 10 $1,000 scholarships, you know, showing county's commitment to education and supporting kids going on to higher education. So just for consideration as we look at our budget as well.
Okay. That's great. That's a great statement, Commissioner Weston. But, you know, when it become personal, when a person pulls out of their own pocket, it's a big difference. Then citizen money and a personal money, it's a big difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're all about the kids.
All about
keeping
the kids.
The main thing, the main thing.
Main thing, the main
thing. Right, you good? Okay. Thank you.
Great. All right. Next thing on our budget and on our agenda is presentation of the county budget recommendation by County Manager Juan Vaughn. Right on time, right on schedule. Right on schedule.
Commissioners, Bertie County staff, community partners, taxpayers, and citizens of Bertie County, good morning.
Good morning.
Once again, I stand before you to present the budget
that will set the
course of governmental services that will be rendered to our citizens for this upcoming fiscal year. So I was going to ask that you pay close attention to this, citizens as well as staff, because there are two new things. But one thing we've already got dug into today, and that was the fire protection service district that we are or that I am proposing. And so I will still talk about it a little bit, but for the most part, I think we kind of delved into it for the most part. So just to get us started, we talk about the composition of the budget that we have. And of course, we have the general fund, and that is the majority of the budget. We have a social services fund, 911 fund, capital school reserve, water district fund, and telephone system fund. And today I will pretty much highlight a general fund and the water district fund. So let's get started by talking about this fund balance appropriated. So I'm very happy to say that there is no fund balance appropriation in the upcoming budget for fiscal year 23-24. And I put this historical information for everyone, but particularly for our new commissioners, to take a look at why we are where we are. When we're talking about our fund balance being low, being on the unit assistance list, this is a big part of the reason why. As you can see, this graph shows, going back to fiscal year 2017, it shows the original appropriation of fund balance compared to the final appropriation of fund balance. So for instance, in fiscal year 2017, in the original budget, $1.27 million was appropriated. And by the end of that fiscal year, that number was 1.8. Okay, same thing, similar for fiscal year 2018, 2019, and 2020. Okay, but fortunately, since fiscal year 2021, there has not been a fund balance appropriation. I'm very proud about that. So now let's take a look at the overall budget for the general fund. So let's start back for a while. You see, starting back from 2017 up until 2020, our budget was increasing. And then 2022, once the LGC got our attention with our fund balance, took the budget down some. And as you can see this year, it has gone back up, but it's key to realize that it's not because it's a fund balance appropriation. That is because of a projected increase in tax collection, as well as sales tax, as well as EMS fee. So those are increases that we are projecting, but not from an appropriation of fund balance. So let's take a look at exactly, as I just mentioned, what revenue factors affect that increase in our budget. And as I just mentioned, the tax collection is projected to increase because of new construction along the waterfront, discoveries in unlisted business personal property, and we have been able to maintain a tax collection rate above 97%. As I also just mentioned, we're projecting that our sales tax will increase, EMS fee will increase, and we also have some remaining funds in our American Rescue Plan. As you all know, we received $3.6 million from the American Rescue Plan. And for each year, 2021, 2022, we've had plans for those funds. And so that will continue for this year because we still have some remaining funds. So we have some things that we can cover with those funds as well. So expenditure factors. What are we looking to spend? What are our big expenditures for the upcoming fiscal year? We've been talking about it for several meetings now, been a whole lot of discussion and buzz. I haven't even presented yet, and the word is already out about these increases that we've been talking about. So in the upcoming budget, I have included, I am proposing that we adjust the Bertie County salary schedule classification plan by raising the minimum pay to $11 per hour. Okay, of course, we have talked about wanting to do it higher, and I absolutely want to do it higher. However, that is not a burden that our I think is appropriate for our taxpayers at this time because it is so huge. So it's important for me to point out here that Bertie County has three different classification plans, okay? We have the Bertie County, which is the general one, but we have one specifically for EMS, emergency services, and non-emergency transport, as well as the sheriff's office. And on the sheriff's office, that one is particularly for deputies, okay? So we know that the sheriff's office salary schedule was updated back in 2019 when the deputy pay went to $40,000. And in November of 2021, the EMS salary schedule was updated. However, the one that I'm referring to has not been updated in a much longer time than that. I'm talking early 2000s, as our HR director pointed out a few meetings ago. So that being said, the hiring rate, minimum and maximum for all grades will increase. Okay, so now, does that mean that everyone on that schedule will get an increase? Everyone was considered. However, that will not result in everyone getting an increase because what we did is look at it on an employee by employee basis. First, we want to make sure that all employees are brought up to the new minimums. That's the first thing, first step. Next step is after determining whether or not they're brought up to the new minimums, we have divided each grade or each grade has a minimum and a maximum. So we divide that until 30 steps. And so we take a look at the number of years that each employee has been in their current position. And we make sure that, for instance, if an employee has been in their position for 5 years, we slide them to 5 years on that new scale. Okay. So if they're not there, they're brought up to 5 years on that scale. However, if their salary already exceeds that, they don't get an increase. So after looking into this, we feel confident that it is the most fair and resourceful way to move forward with this salary schedule adjustment. All right. That being said, next is special appropriations.
Can I just ask one question about that?
Sure.
Because you said if they've been in that same job.
Correct.
So even if they've been with Bertie County for 10 years, they just accepted a new job. You don't take the other 5 years into consideration.
No. This is because if they've been with Bertie County, you said for 5 years and they just got a new job, more than likely there was a promotion, they got a 5% increase. So that being said, they were, again, we're taking a look at where they are in that position. If they've been in that position for 1 year, they'll go up to the new scale, but the year or the step that we'll look at for that position is 1 year. In terms of honoring their length of service at Bertie County. Of course, that's where we rely on our longevity pay that we've talked about. They need some work also, right?
A lot of work. But okay. I'm going to push back for like Miss Susan. I can't think of her last name. Hoggard. Mm-hmm. But she's been with Bertie County 23 years. Okay, so let's just say Miss Little leaves and you make her director.
Okay.
So no, we're saying we're not going to take any account into how long she has been with Burt T. County when you put her on a different scale. That's all you don't have to give me an answer. I just need y'all to understand, like, it's kind of a slap in the face that you put 23 years into a county and you don't take that into consideration when you put them on a pay scale. But I'm good. I just wanted to throw that out for everybody to hear and think about.
Okay.
Well, Commissioner White, I understand that what you're saying, but the problem I have is working for $11 an hour. You know, I wouldn't work. I go see Miss Lilla. Miss Lilla, can I have an appointment to see you? Job paying $11 an hour, you give me more than that in assistance, right? And why would I work? I come see you and get on welfare and get more from welfare than I can make working. That's why we had to do a better job. We got to get people options and do away with their 401k, put that money in the paycheck. They need it now. Let's give the employees an option. You know, if they want $11 an hour and 3% and they match 3% on the 401k, either they want to do away with that and wait and come and get on the 401k at another point in time.
Mr. Robinson, you're right. And we have plenty of time to negotiate. Perfect. That's what we're going to do. It's right. A whole work session. But what we want to do today is to clearly give the county manager time to tell us what he is presenting. I think all of us will want to do more. We're going to have an opportunity to, because we have the authority to do it. That's what we're going to meet for in 2 days, see what we can do, how we can do it. So, but let's give him a chance to finish what he's presenting.
Okay, thank you. So now that brings us to a special appropriation. And as done historically, we provide funding for Burt T. County Public Schools, Public Schools Capital Outlay, Martin Community College, Roanoke Chowan Community College, Burt T. Martin Regional Jail, and many others. Also included in this year's budget are quite a few capital purchases, and they are in emergency services and non-emergency transport when it comes to emergency response vehicles, Sheriff's Office and Information Technology with new servers, public buildings. There are building upgrades and things that need to be addressed. Capital purchases in parks and recreation and for elections and tax. I'm proposing that we use remaining ARPA funds for computer replacement. So now let's talk about the ad valorem tax rate. We are currently at 86.5 cents. And if that remains the tax rate for this upcoming fiscal year, that means that would have been the tax rate for 5 years, okay? If all requests received would have been funded, that would have warranted pretty much almost a 9 or 10 cent increase to our tax rate. So again, I am not proposing an increase in the ad valorem tax rate, meaning the general tax rate that all Burt T. County property owners are pretty much have to abide by. However, what we've been talking about is the Burt T. County Fire Protection Service Tax District. And I want to be clear that will come with a tax. So it's an additional tax. It is not, again, an overall tax increase on the tax rate that will affect everyone. But with this Fire Protection Service Tax District, a tax will come along with that. And that will include, as mentioned, all unincorporated areas of Burt T. County and then all municipalities in Burt T. County, with the exception of Windsor. And we've talked about, I knew that was a concern for some. So we talked about how Windsor would be funded partially through the Service Tax District and partially through a general fund appropriation, since the unincorporated areas of Windsor will be in the tax district, but not the city limits. Okay, and of course, as you know, that proposing the single unified protection service district, which will finance, provide, and maintain fire and rescue services within the county. And the idea is that it will is to maintain the current level of service. And as mentioned in the past, each fire department has received $30,000. And so in order to maintain that current level of service, in order for that tax district to generate approximately $360, the additional taxes will be almost 4 cents.
One question, County Manager.
Yes, sir. Yes,
when
sir.
The municipalities agreed to sign on to the tax district, and all of them other than Windsor did, yes, right? Mm-hmm. We had talked about whether there would be one district or more than one district.
Correct.
Did we clearly say to them that you would be recommending one district at this time? Is that what they signed for, or did they simply sign based on yes to the fire district concept, not how many there would be one or many? Just want to be clear what the expectation is.
Yes, sir. I think it was made clear that we were going toward that way, but of course, no, you know, I cannot tell them exactly what it would be, and that won't be decided until you all have, you know, made the decision. But yes, the idea is that it would be one
right.
unified tax district, because when you have several, you know, you run into problems where the tax rates are just different throughout the county.
Yes.
So I definitely think it's ideal to just have one.
And I'm not disagreeing with that. I support that as well.
They yes,
just wanted to make sure if that was clear when the municipality signed on to this, that there would be one as opposed to difference. Because some, there were plus and minuses on both ways, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Good.
I believe that was the understanding. So now, going to our water fund. Taking a look at the numbers historically, when you compare revenues versus expenditures, for a while, going back to 2018, we began to see where expenditures exceeded revenues just a little bit. But as you move to 2019, clearly 2020, and even 2021, we saw that a little bit more. And that's when we had some long discussions about our water rates, and we increased our water rates. And as you can see, it has paid off, because fiscal year 2022, our revenues greatly exceeded our expenditures. So we're expecting the same thing this year, which will also help to maintain some financial stability in our water fund. And we're trying to do the same thing with our general fund as well. Okay, so now when it comes to our water fund budget, back 2018 is 2.8 million, same in 2019. 2020, we began to decrease it, and now fiscal year 2022 went down to 2.6, and we're back up at almost 2.7 now. At least that is what is recommended.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Have there been any talk about the water division in Powellsville? I got a call over the weekend from Ms. Jean Callender asking, you know, I said, well, it's in conversation.
Yes, we are having conversations about that, and we have to continue to have some conversations with Powellsville. We've met with them and told them exactly what is expected in the process. And so we have to keep engaging in those conversations so that we can move forward with doing that if they would like to do that.
But it's important to understand that we, the county, we are providing water to Powellsville via our interconnect right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is working quite well in that they have not seen any decrease in pressure in their system.
Yeah.
In fact, they're quite pleased with the that we've been able to. But that was part of preparation years ago to put these interconnections in place. So when
mm-hmm.
things happen like this, we even have them outside of the county with neighboring counties. So it is working, but they have made the decision that they would like us to
right.
come over to mm-hmm. us. And we have to make the decision whether or not we accept and what the terms of that would be, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, sir. So what's next for us? And getting this budget approved, or a budget approved by July 1. Work sessions will take place on May 31st and June 2nd. Following that, we'll have a budget hearing on June 5th. At that time, the public will be afforded the opportunity to provide any feedback that they want to provide on the budget. And after that,
June 5th meeting. We'll have one more meeting in June as of right now, which is scheduled for June 20th. And hope to have the budget adopted by June 30th. All right. Are there any questions at this time? Now, again, of course, we're going to dig into the budgets that you have at our May 31st budget work session. But are there any questions that I can provide for that time? Mm-hmm.
Have one. Could you go back to the slide that you had of fund balances over the last few years? Yes, this is a slide I wanted to bring not just the board's attention to, but to our citizens' attention to. When we brought County Manager Vaughn on as the county manager, the primary directive we gave to him is that we've got to fix our fund balance situation. And we were, as you can see, prior to 21, we were digging a hole that we needed to get out of. And if we didn't do it quickly, we would have problems. That's when the state came in, gave us guidance on terms of what we would need to do. We kept us under significant watch until we made an improvement. And you can see we've had zero increase of using fund balance dollars to balance this budget 1, 2, 3, and now 4 years. And I think the projection is that with end of this current year, hopefully we will be above that guidance that the state established for us. That's our goal anyway. But we've made significant progress. And that's because, you know, we made a commitment to tighten the belt in every way we could, but yet to still grow and try to do the things that improve this county. So I think all of us can look at all the things that we've accomplished, but we've accomplished it by using the dollars that we have more effectively than we had in the past.
And I think if I remember correctly, the last meeting we had, which was on the 6th of May, I believe it was, it showed that we had grown to $11.3 million total fund balance from the previous layer of $8.1 million. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I think I remember correctly.
And the thing we've learned from that process is that we've got to make sure that funds that are due the county, that mm-hmm. we do everything we can to get them in before the close of business, right? Because having that money out there, even though we know it's due to us, they don't count. It makes us look bad. So I think we've done a much better job of managing that. We may not have every dollar in, but every dollar available that we can get in, we've been focusing on that. And I think we have at least one of those jobs. We have to hope that we will get that money.
And we did change auditors also. Okay. Because during that time, we went 2 years without any audits, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yep.
So
and not knowing where you are, it's kind of hard to manage it when you don't know where you are. But anyway, so any questions, additional questions?
I do.
County manager?
Yes. I do, but I don't know if it's the right time or if it's for a budget session. So you can.
Okay.
One, did we have to cut? I know you're presenting did we have to cut anything from proposed budgets?
Did we have to cut any? Absolutely. Oh, yes. So
show the slide again.
Oh, yes. Most definitely. So.
And then everything that was there.
And I didn't wear my glasses, so let me just tell you.
So to give you a figure, I had to cut about $1.4 million worth of additional requests. $1.4 million. Okay.
Like what were some of them?
New positions that we'll get into in the new work session, but some new positions were requested, and I have not included any new positions in the proposed budget. So that'll be something for your consideration. I want to say most of the capital requests are included, majority of them. But yes, if I would have kept that 1.4 in, we would have needed a tax increase of almost 10 cents.
So,
and this, that, Commissioner White, that is a perfect lead into the next comment I'll make if there are no others.
I do. I have one more
for
you.
Please.
Again, this might go to your work session.
Okay.
I've kept mentioning like having a digital program for us to, for LaShonda to work through to get stuff to us.
Yes, and we talked about that. That is not included. However, of course, it can be, but no, it is not right now.
Gotcha. It's all this paper.
Right.
So here's the key. The county manager presents a proposed budget to us. It is a balanced budget.
It is.
Our goal now
is between now and this first meeting on the 31st is for us to review these details department by department. So I would say that to every commissioner, do your due diligence, examine every line, every department where you have recommendations to either add or cut, make some notations. Because when we get together, there's a lot of data to go over. So we want to be precise about what we're asking for, right? But understand one principle. For every dollar we add, there must be an encompassing cut somewhere in order to balance this budget, right?
Right.
So if we say we're going to want to do things, and there may be good things that we want to include, we have to find a place to cut, because we are not, that's what we said, that we're not going into fund balance, or unless we decide that we want to do a tax increase, which is within our authority as well, right?
Yes.
So it must be balanced either with or without a tax increase. So be prepared to make the arguments that you think are warranted, and let's have some robust discussion about this. And
okay, so then that you have to help, I'll say me, maybe not Corey, maybe he's really intelligent. We don't know what was requested, and I don't know what you've cut, or like you're telling us to go through this, but like, is this help
so,
me?
So,
because
you'll get it.
We wouldn't.
What you'll get.
Okay. So I have some other handouts for you to accompany this, but if you're taking a look at this handout, if you see one of the columns, if you starting from on any page, it doesn't matter which page, I'm just going to talk about the layout. On any column, you'll see starting from the right, of course, you see comments, you see manager. That means that is my proposed budget.
Gotcha.
Coming before that, you see FY24 departmental request. And okay, that is what department heads have requested.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so that's pretty much what what we have to consider. But I can provide summaries for you that kind of show it specifically, breaks it out by position, capital request.
Yeah. It'll give us a breakdown.
Sure. And that's the way it works. You look at what, the county manager recommended. You look at what they're spending for the year, for what they asked for in addition to that. Decide if we think it's warranted. If we do, then where do we make, where do we take it from? Someplace else, right?
Absolutely. Tax increase. Yes. And if any of you, if you desire to meet with me prior to the work sessions to talk a little bit more about this document and what's included, I welcome that. We can definitely do that.
Oh, that's a great suggestion. Yeah. So, yeah. Just especially for clarity's sake, right?
I'm sorry. That's the best you can do. Talk to yourself. In your past. You know what I mean?
All right, last one. And yes, I didn't hear you mention it, so I'm going to assume it's not. No, there's no cost of living in this budget.
Unfortunately, there is not. There is not. And the reason that there is not is because this salary adjustment that a good number of our employees will receive amounts to approximately $300,000.
Okay.
So, but no, there is not.
I was assuming no, but there's not.
Yeah. We may need to get a little more information about those two in terms of how many people are affected, what percentage of our population is affected by those increases.
For sure.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we see how deep that went, right?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Any additional questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. With that, We have on the agenda, we're going to have a closed session. Do we have closed session now? We do not have a closed session. If everybody finds it clear, no, any additional questions?
Not additional questions. A comment about what Mitch emailed us. If you just want to say thank you to the EMS workers.
EMS Week. Oh, yes. It is EMS Week. And we're celebrating that the whole week. And I know a lot of us are planning to go by and just give our personal thanks, but also a thanks to the whole department. This has been a tremendous effort. Even when we look at the budget, it's not all down to finances, but it shows that things are working right because the revenues are up significantly for us in terms of revenue, which makes it easier for us to be able to provide additional services to the county, right? And John, as you remember, one of the things we went into this is because we wanted to be able to improve the service, but reduce the cost of doing this, and we've been able to do that. And now, whether it's the collection period and all the things have worked well for us, and I think we're doing a tremendous job. That we need to celebrate that. We did make sure that those people in that department.
I mean, we're state recognized now. I mean, we're being sent to different counties to assist other counties in what we do. So I think it's great. And when we made that transition,
It's probably the best thing we did for Berkeley
County. We are
County.
The new model for counties around, not just here, but around the state. We were the first county, can you believe this? A low-wealth county like Bertie provide a licensed EMT professional on every 911 call, the first one in the state.
At paramedic level
on every 911 call. And now that is the model of other counties who've done the same thing. And so that's to our credit.
So I just want to say thank you to all the EMS workers if you're listening. That's what the whole point of that was. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you do.
Yeah. Well said.
All right. Mr. Chairman, point of privilege that we do have Ms. Lilla here, who served director. The state has given her the total responsibility of the adult service, and they had gone back. There will be oversight, random drunk stop by visit. So I think Ms. Lilla need to be a father too. Yes. The outstanding work she had done to put the Social Service Department and her staff back in check.
Back on full. Great.
Thank you, Ms. Lilla.
Thank you. That is a major,
major
correction for us. We're looking forward to the future too. We really are.
Okay, good. We do have employees that goes to food pantries and volunteer their time back. That's outstanding.
That's great.
You can't beat volunteerism.
Unless anything else is on the board, motion to adjourn?
No, I'm making motion to adjourn. Can we recess until May 31st?
Let's do that.
10 o'clock, commissioner's room.
Make a motion to recess, commissioner's room. On
May 31st, 10 o'clock.
31st at 10 o'clock. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Trent, Commissioner Robinson, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
We'll close nay. Let's have it. Thank you. We are adjourned.
We are recessed.
Recessed. Get the word right. Adjourned. Recess. I got to remember that. Say that correctly. Hey, guys. Okay. Yes.